Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later. Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I am your host and GM, Helen Gould, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Imogen Harris.
Lydia Nicholas.
Little Timmy Meredith.
Yep. Everyone else managed to do it normally.
My name's not even Timmy.
That is normal for Tim, though.
It's just Tim.
It is.
But I just wanted to make it fun for everyone.
Well, technically, I guess that's my job.
No, I'm the only one that's allowed to make things fun for everyone. Sorry. I didn't want to tell you.
So... this is our Halloween special, and we are playing a game called Beautiful Space Pirates. Although the actual title, as written on the sheet, is Beautiful Space Pirates in the Galaxy's Most Dangerous Funeral. And this is obviously a Grant Howitt game, as I think you probably will have assumed just from that title. I'm going to read you the blurb that he has put on the little sheet. Mm-hmm. You are a beautiful space pirate. Terrible and wonderful news. You are attending the funeral of the great space pirate Balthazar Germain. Ooh. And he's written you into his will.
Ooh.
You and your friends, ooh, who are all also in his will,
ooh,
rub shoulders with the galaxy's most devil-may-care scoundrels,
ooh,
who all also happen to be mentioned in the will,
ooh,
and prepare for his spectacular send-off.
Ooh.
That's got that Howitt stank all over it.
It does, it does. It's got his manky little hands in there. If you would like to play this game, it's over on his Patreon. That's patreon.com/GS Howitt, which is spelt mostly how you'd expect, but it's got two T's at the end. We're going to do some character creation. Also, I've never played this before, and this is Imogen's first time playing a role-playing game.
Woo-hoo!
At all. Right?
Yay! I'm very excited to be here, and everything's going to go fine.
It will!
I think it is. Right, so... to do the character creation, we're going to do name, stats, two different abilities, touchstones, which is like something or someone that you have a special connection to. And then after that, you've got like two different pick one. And there's one ability that you can do once per scene. And there's another ability that you can do once per session.
Mm.
Okay.
So let's start with Ben, because I know Ben at least has a name already in mind.
Yes, it's terribly derivative.
That's okay. Ben, tell us your name.
My name is Bathin Galactonium, the
woo-hoo!
Sexiest space pirate to ever pirate in space.
Sounds like an arch to
very,
me.
Are we supposed to recognize that?
If you listen to Stella Firma, you
know. Oh, now we see. Now we see who listens and who doesn't. Oh, okay. Well.
No.
To be fair, Lydia's the only one who hasn't been on Stella Firma.
Yeah, well, well. Well, maybe if she listened.
But I don't... It upsets me.
That's
I
the
want
point.
David Seven to be okay.
It is quite
we
upsetting.
All do. Ben,
yes.
You can assign a D6, a D8, and a D10 to three stats,
okay.
Which are daring, handsome, and vicious. Can you tell me what you've done for each of those?
So, staying true to what we perceive of Bathin, I'm going to go with a D10 in handsome.
Very sexy.
I'm going to go with a D8 in daring because I love adventure, but not as much as I love being handsome. A D6 in vicious because I am a kind individual who will definitely take David Seven into my loving embrace.
Stop writing Aww. Plot.
It's please. Quite. Also, given that I'm Bathin now and David Seven, this is extremely masturbatory. I'm like,
yeah,
oh, I love
sure.
myself. Oh, it's great.
Podcasting being
Are
masturbatory.
Are we allowed to
I have
say
no
masturbatory?
Idea.
I mean, surely masturbatory is fine. If it's let's not just beep out and somebody would say I thought something much worse.
Let's say it enough times so they have to keep in masturbatory.
Timothy!
Sorry.
Coincidentally, my character's name is... No.
Masturbatory Jones.
That would be incredible. No.
So, the once per scene abilities are determine exactly what an NPC wants right now, work out what an NPC is most afraid of, find a chandelier in a beneficial location, find a laser flintlock, or declare that one malfunctions, find a rope, rigging, or crane apparatus, find a window or airlock in a useful location. Tell us a useful fact about this alien's culture.
I think I am going to determine exactly what an NPC wants right now.
Okay. That is wonderful.
Spoiler, it's always a snog.
Yeah. Or maybe a duel to the death and then a snog. Mm.
Ooh, oh.
A snog to the death.
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah. Oh, that is the wrong... Wrong way around.
There
yeah.
is no pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. Stop following the rainbow.
And Ben, what is your once per session ability? You can choose from declare an NPC is madly in love with you, recruit a space ghost with neo-spiritualism rituals, trigger a Mexican standoff in your favor, find a party happening nearby, you're invited. Find a friendly NPC in a useful position.
Nice.
Find an unattended vessel just when you need one. Channel your sorceress ancestry into a star spell.
I think find a party happening nearby, you're invited.
And now I need you.
Yes.
To roll a dice to pick your touchstone. You need to roll 2d12.
2d12?
That's what it says.
Cool, I've got them.
Might be... Oh, no, wait. No, that gives you... That just gives you two different touchstones that you will have.
Aha.
So in this very short system, what that means is that you can use one of these touchstones to get out of danger.
Okay.
So you can say, in a miraculous turn of events, I am rescued by... For the audience again, I'm going to quickly read out the touchstones. So we've got Abernathy Towers, your stern but loving mentor, mostly robotic. Seratio Kingson, a beautiful space prince with literal emerald eyes. Amaranth 9, an embodied ship's computer in the form of a shifting hologram. Terpsichore's Vaunt, a star skimmer that's been in your family for generations. An orbital pleasure satellite stolen from the bad-tempered king of Jupiter. A hat so beautiful it was for a time the de facto ruler of the moon.
Grant!
All hail King Hat.
Incredible.
Clara Bell 003, a time-travelling, I'm going to say private detective.
Yeah.
And your on-again, off-again paramour. Kinesthelesian, a crystal horse that you've ridden since you were a child. He can talk. Audacious Fandango, galactic mountebank and interstellar highway person. Giselle Fleur-de-Lis, rampant space wizard.
Good lord.
Castor Wolf Owl, pan-galactic daguerreotypist and canny muckraker. And finally, Sinestra Deathwine, reformed, supervillain and excellent kisser.
Okay, let's have a look what I've got.
So let's see which two you get.
I have 4 and 10. So 4 is Terpsichore's Vaunt, a star skimmer that's been in my family for generations. And number yes. 10 is Giselle Fleur-de-Lis, the rampant space wizard.
Just so rampant.
Wonderful.
Rampant. Rampant indeed. So that is... Oh, do you want to give us any physical description of your character?
Yes. Okay. Right.
You can just say they're very handsome.
Bathin
if you want.
Galactonium is incredibly handsome with King Charles II's hair. But that
his actual hair.
Yeah. He stole it from King Charles II. Time traveling back, having a real sexy party, and then making off with his wig. But he's dyed it a deep azure blue. And let's say his skin is the green of the deep sea.
Oh, beautiful.
He's so silty. Mm. Ooh.
And he is wearing whatever you want him to, baby.
Unpleasant.
He's also in a boiler suit for some reason.
I mean, if you want him to be in a boiler suit, he'll be in a boiler suit.
He's pretty hot, literally very hot.
Yeah, quite warm. For those of us not viewing this on the recording that's also being made, we're wearing costumes that may or indeed may not relate to our characters.
Lydia, why don't we have you next? Can you tell me the name of your character?
Spinglewall Taysthorpe.
Is that Spinglewall or Spinglewald?
Wald.
Excellent.
I'm going to write that down in case I forget.
It would be awkward if you forgot your own name, yes. What stats would you like?
Spinglewald is incredibly daring, so they can have a D10 in that.
Uh-huh.
They are going to be incredibly handsome.
Yes.
So a D8 in that. And only a little bit vicious, because they rarely need to be. They're so handsome. And so daring. D6 in that.
Yeah. Okay. And which two abilities would you like to pick?
Spinglewald can find a chandelier in a beneficial location. And he can declare an NPC madly in love with him.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Everybody does. It's the Eye Stalks.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you can declare that anybody's in love with you, can't you? You could just
yeah, they don't have to agree.
Like,
that's true.
That's maybe, just a maybe, declaration.
Maybe that isn't as useful. Maybe that isn't as useful as it looks. I'm going to say.
Presumably, yeah, they mean well, accurately declare that somebody's in love
that,
with them.
That's just down seems to a Helen, bit, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know what? It is down to me. Yeah. And I'm going to use that to my advantage. So, can you roll 2d12 for me for your touchstones?
I can indeed. It's a 7. Clarabelle, the time-travelling private detective. And my on-again, off-again paramour.
Mm-hmm.
And 11. Castor Wolf Howl. Pangalactic Daguerreotypist. What does that mean? And Canny Muckraker.
I think a daguerreotypist
like a
is someone
photograph,
who...
photograph, isn't it?
Yeah, they make daguerreotypes, which is an old-timey kind of photograph,
ooh,
as far as I can remember.
That's useful, ooh, thank you.
I think there's this game is being willfully anachronistic. I'm sorry, I'm not... I'm not sure that this is... Sorry, continue.
Well, Tim, I'm doing you next. So, what's your name?
My name is Erogenous Rakewell. And I do rake well, that is.
So you come some sort of farmer.
Yeah. The sexiest farmer you ever did see. I think, as my name suggests, I am a rake, which means I'm daring most of all. So I'm going to put my D10 in daring.
Okay.
I'm going to put my D8 in handsome. You know, not to everyone's taste, but there's a certain charm there.
Sure.
And you know what? I don't think my character is all that vicious. I think they're, you know, selfish maybe. Actively vicious, no.
I think we're going to have trouble in fights, aren't we? We're all just like, I'm gorgeous. It's not helpful, but I am.
We'll just be like, not the face, not the face.
Yeah. Everyone's just fighting like from the waist down and then just leaning their bodies back.
Just kicking each other in the shins. Yeah.
You know what? I am very down for different ways of conflict resolution that do not include fighting, though. So, you know.
Yeah.
Kissing
no
it
problem.
Is.
No problem.
Kissing it is.
Extended.
Yes, it is.
Alex isn't here. Extended audible kissing.
Okay.
Lydian
so
monster.
Your two abilities, your once per scene and your once per session abilities.
I'm going to go with finding a laser flintlock or declaring that one malfunctions, because I enjoy the sort of buccaneering feel of that.
I like the idea, sorry, just very quickly, that it's like declaring someone is in love with you. That's not necessarily accurate. You're like, that flintlock yes. doesn't work. Bang. Oh, it does.
Yeah. There you go. Grant's being very broad with the use of the word declare.
Yes, as he usually is.
The only real way he knows how to communicate.
It's true.
Yes, yes.
A declarative monologue man.
Yes.
Then.
And once per session?
Well, because I really enjoy the one, trigger a Mexican standoff in your favour, partly because, again, I feel like it fits in, but it also sounds like in Monopoly when there's like a bank error in your favour, like you turn over a card and go, ooh, Mexican standoff in my favour, £15. So I'm going to go with trigger a Mexican standoff in your favour.
Okay, although, just to check with the rest of you, isn't a Mexican standoff where everyone has a gun on everyone else?
Yeah, I was just
thinking, I don't know how it could be in my favour.
The point but is, it's a no one. We'll have to figure that out if it happens.
I think you could potentially also generalize it to sort of like any sort of like broadly equal conflict, but it could be
only Mexican standoff.
No, and also, I mean, does he mean declare a Mexican standoff in his favor?
No, that's true.
Oh, no,
that's true.
I've won this one, that's you guys. True. I've won it. Put your guns down. You're dead.
Well, you could have like a Mexican standoff happens. I've got guns, but everyone else just has bananas. So it is a Mexican standoff, but it is in my favour.
We'll have to figure that out.
We need my touchstones, don't we?
We do. Please roll 2d12.
Right. I borrowed d12. Okay, so my first one is 2, which is Serratio Kingston, beautiful space prince with literal emerald eyes, and I'm going to decide now live my ex-lover. And I had to leave because I just kept stealing the eyes and selling them. It was very tense.
Just had to go down the nearest pawn shop constantly.
Exactly, and then to the nearest pawn shop. Okay, moving on. And the other one is number 4. Terpsichore's Vaunt, a star skimmer that's been in your family for generations.
That might mean that you and Bathin are related because you both have Terpsichore's Vaunt.
Well, I'll keep insisting that it's called the Erogenous Zone, and Bathin hates that because it's already got a name. Everybody, get in the Erogenous Zone. No, please, will you stop it?
I'm just going to ride this convenient chandelier. It seems less awful.
Wonderful. And finally, Imogen.
Okay.
What would you like to be called?
I'm going to be the Countess _ Star Cluster.
Incredible!
Is that underscores in the punctuation?
No, just that's her name. But all the other countesses were taken, so she had to, like,
it's a game attack.
Underscore. Yeah.
Countess _ what?
Star Cluster. Star Cluster. Also, actually, Space Station? No, Star Cluster. Go with your first instinct.
You're going to be fine at this. You're going to get right in there. And what stats would you like?
Okay, I'm going to go Vicious as my D10, because why not?
Look at the instinctive balance. Countess. She knows games. She knows games. This is lies.
Daring as my D8 and Handsome as my D6. So I'll be the Uggo of the group.
We're all medium handsome.
Probably. And you know what? It is all in the eye of the beholder, is it not? Right. What would you like your once per scene ability to be?
Okay. Find a rope or an airlock in a useful location, because I think I get to decide what useful means. It could be in the middle of my enemy.
You mean a window or an airlock?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I've got an eye patch on and it's really hard to read the screen. There we go.
You just can't tell how far away it is.
Wonderful. And what's your once per session one?
Once per session, I am going to find a friendly NPC in a useful... Oh, no, we've had that one. In a useful position. Has someone picked that?
No.
Nope.
Excellent.
We've had find a party, but not an NPC.
If you have enough friendly NPCs, it's always a party.
Yeah.
Their useful location is party or on a chandelier.
No! She's broken the game!
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm all up for breaking this game.
I don't want to break it.
Grant won't mind. Can you roll 2d12 for me to find out what your touchstones are?
9 and 8.
Okay, so that is Audacious Fandango.
Excellent.
Oh, I'm so glad that we're able to use that name. And, oh, the one that I hated.
Kinesthelesian. Oh, I've always wanted a pony. Yes. I call him Kinny for short because he's my childhood talking horse.
Perfect.
How does he feel about everyone?
Are you sure you want to call him Kinny?
Why? Does that mean something?
How does he feel about everyone continually mispronouncing his name?
Very angry. Enraged.
You won't believe how this furious this crystal horse is.
And faintly aroused. That's what makes him so dangerous.
Rampant.
I've also just realised that I didn't ask any of the rest of you, apart from Ben, what you look like. Spinglewald, what do you look like?
Spinglewald is 3 foot tall, has 12 legs, and eye stalks a foot long, and he is incredibly handsome.
Lovely.
Just so handsome. Sparkly and purple, that's the actual body colour, and their trousers, which are intensely complicated, are an azure grey. Which is a colour that Spinglewald Taysthorpe's species can see, but humans can't.
That's fine. That's good. That'll be great for the fan art.
I've already forgotten how many legs I said, so I'm going to say that it's not static.
Oh, okay.
Which is why the trousers are so complicated.
Oh, as you move, do they kind of ooze out the front of you and then recede?
Every time that they shed their skin, it's random.
How often do they shed their skin?
Pretty often.
Convenient moments, I guess. Whenever the occasion calls for it.
Yeah.
If you're ever really scared, you go up, your skin stays there. You know, it's great.
A very important question based on that. Do your trousers, like, shift and adapt to grow new legs? Or do you just have, like, a load of empty, unused leg sockets just in case? And then one just gently fills up?
It's actually... That was really how technology developed on the Taysthorpe species planet, was the need for adaptive trousers.
Sure.
So
intense
all of our...
modesty in the planet combined with a very uncertain body shape that would make it.
Oh, we're immodest. We're just very stylish.
Oh, these are immodest trousers.
So lots of spandex and lycra type materials.
They are immodest.
They are so big trousers.
So are they just multi-leg chaps?
Yes.
So many legs.
Let's
but
move
no
on.
Ass.
Let's move on from the chaps.
Assless space chaps.
No, erogenous, tell me what you look like.
Yeah, quickly, just make this less horny.
So in sort of like body shape and type, a little bit like Noel Coward in Private Lives, sort of not like a hunk, but just sort of like a rakish figure. And you know that sort of
trim.
Purple velveteen quilted smoking jacket fabric where it's like those diamonds with studs?
Yeah.
It's like that, but that's my skin. Like, that is just all of my skin is like quilted velvet smoking jacket material.
You're like a walking sofa.
Exactly. I'm just so
wonderful.
Comfy. Sometimes if I'm sat down, people think I'm a stylish throw and I have to tell them to get off me.
And Countess _, what do you look like?
She's very tall and bald and old and scaly and sleek. I hope that clears everything
Lovely.
Up for you.
Yeah, it does. That's perfect.
Like a human.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like a human. You know, like a human.
Yeah. In a normal way that a human would normally describe themselves.
Just like a sleek, bald human, you know.
Yeah.
Scaly.
With scales.
Like a human. All right. So we have all of our characters. I'm now going to attempt to look at the system. I'm not good at systems, even when they are only 3 paragraphs long.
Right.
So... when you attempt a risky action and the outcome is in doubt, so I imagine that's going to happen quite a lot, you have to roll the appropriate dice, i.e. whether it is daring or handsome or vicious, and compare it to the task number determined by the GM. And the task number for a trifling or momentary concern is 4, for a challenging or extended task is 8, or a grand endeavour indeed is 12.
Oh, goodness.
So if you equal or beat the number of whichever level of difficulty it is, then you achieve your task. If you roll under it, then you have to add 1 to your peril score.
technically, it also says lower the task number by one, but I'm not sure how I would apply that, because then that would make the whole game easier, and I'm not sure...
That's
no,
the point,
no,
because
for
you
that specific
get peril.
Thing, then you can keep retrying it,
ah,
right?
Ah, for that specific
so it's like,
thing.
Oh,
we've
got
wonderful.
To get through this airlock. Oh, no. But it's the difficulty is 12, and none of us are handsome enough to roll that high. So we just roll three times, and it... And lower the thing and keep losing our paramours, you know?
And also, assumedly, okay. because our maximum dice roll is 10, so when we're doing something that's a grand endeavour...
That's true!
You're getting too peril.
Ah,
so, like, it's
the
just...
balance!
It's just
the
happening.
Balance!
Like, you can't do anything like that without peril.
Mm. Wonderful. Now, the higher your peril score, the more potential danger you're in. If you ever roll a dice that's equal to or less than your peril... then you're in danger, in capital letters.
Capital?
Da, da, da. You have, yeah, you have to get rescued. However, you can lose one of your touchstones to get out of danger and reduce your peril to zero. You'll have to narrate a tearful farewell scene. And if a shared touchstone is lost, all characters who share it will reduce their peril to zero and escape danger, but they all lose it. So
that ship's exploding.
Tim and Ben.
That ship is exploding. Yes. That ship is gone. Yes. It's...
But I couldn't afford to lose my erogenous zone.
It's extremely important.
Yeah. I was given it to by my family, apparently, so I don't know what that means.
Okay. Now, does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Just about. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Imogen?
Let's say yes.
Don't worry, I barely understand it myself because I see a rule and my eyes glaze over.
Lawful good, Helen. This is how she maintains lawful good. Doesn't know the laws.
Can't break them if you don't know them.
No.
Now, I'm going to tell you what the actual mission is. Ooh. So, Balthazar Germain's will came with bizarre stipulations and only one crew can claim the majestic reward. Now, Grant says to roll to see what's required to get the reward, but this is a Halloween special, so I have chosen that you're going to survive a night in a haunted space station. Ooh. And that's what we're going to be doing today. And I think we're probably going to take a break there. And when we come back, we will arrive and see what's happening on the space station.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
And welcome back. So, the four of you are getting along on your spaceship. We'll call yours. In fact, you're probably using
the Terpsichore's Vault.
Terpsichore's Vault to get to the haunted space station in order to get your inheritance. Would any of you like to do anything before you get there?
Well, obviously, while flying this ship, I am just lazily reclining on the chaise lounge, which is, of course, the pilot's chair.
Course, naturally. Mm. Are there fights over who gets to be in the captain's chair?
I think we've all brought our own captain's chairs.
Yes.
We've lined them up on the bridge.
Special.
Yes.
Chair.
I've got a captain's chandelier.
Just swinging.
Wonderful.
I've got one for me and one for my crystal horse that talks.
I forgot about the horse.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he's with me at all times. Is that... Have I misunderstood that?
He must be.
It's a very crowded bridge.
I completely forgot that you were bringing your own NPCs. So, in addition to you, we've also got Giselle, Serratio, Audacious Fandango, the horse... I'm sorry, Kinesthelesian.
Hang on, so I've got two. I've got the horse and I've got Audacious Fandango with me at
everyone's got
all
two.
Times.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Everyone's got two. Wonderful. Except for Ben and Tim, who share a ship.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
It sucks. We're very hard done by.
We also have Clarabelle, the private detective,
yep.
And Castor Wolfhound.
Yep.
So you're all on the, whatchamacallit? The bridge?
Yeah, of the erogenous zone, I assume. the bridge of the Terpsichore's Vault, the erogenous zone, correct.
And you get communication coming through, like a beepity beep.
A message?
Someone is calling your phone. Wait, your ship. Not your phone.
Someone
your
answer
phone
the ship. Ship. Could you get that ship, please?
Pick up the erogenous
please pick
zone.
Up the ship.
Is anyone going to answer the communications? It's coming from the haunted space station.
Erogenous Rakewell-Will. Hello?
Ah, yes, hello. Are you the Terpsichore's crew coming in?
Absolutely not. You've got through to the crew of the Erogenous Zone. I'm Erogenous Rakewell, Captain.
Oh, well, I have your name down, but it says that your ship is called Terpsichore's Vault.
I'm very sorry. What he means is, yes, you have got through to the crew of the Terpsichore's Vault.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. I am Castiel Germain, the husband of the unfortunately very late Balthazar. I just wanted to, you know, touch base, wish you some good luck. I mean, the others are here already, but that's fine. Once you're all here, then the timer will start. And yes, looking forward to seeing you all. Nah, yes. Just to let you know, in order to get the inheritance, at least three of you need to survive. So you know, you can lose one, but three minimum. All right? Yes.
My good person. Could I inquire as to why we might lose one of our exalted crew here? Can we not make this a fun and relaxing time at a haunted space station?
Well, it could be, but you know, the station is full of, you know, the space demons.
Are they?
They can be quite
friendly,
quite
demons?
Dangerous.
Could they be kind, friendly friend demons? Yes.
Are they handsome demons?
Well,
we're all very handsome.
Well, I've never seen one.
We can have a makeout session.
If you want, but you know, the space demons or speemans, if you prefer.
Oh, I'd rather not. I'd rather not if it was a choice.
I don't prefer.
I do. Speemans. Very good. Yes. Excellent. Excellent word to describe.
Get a load of these speemans.
So, Oh, you know, there's a... I've been involved in some of the academic discussions about where they've come from, but you know, the prevailing theory is that they're remnants of, you know, the old gods that got forgotten by various civilizations and planets that have been blown up or extinct and all of that, you know. Mm. And, you know, they were wandering the vacuum of space and made this space station their home. So, you know, good luck with that.
Seems a bit rude of us to bust in while still alive.
Without an invitation.
Exactly.
Well, that's the will. I don't know what to tell you. Balthazar, you know, he was like that. He was always had these wacky schemes.
I mean, I do want all of Balthazar's jewels.
I'll just have to make it up to these speemans somehow.
Well, you can do what you like as long as you all survive. That's fine. But, you know, because the other crews are there, they also are getting the inheritance. I don't know if there'll be some conflict, but hopefully not. I mean, we'll see.
I'm sure we'll be able to persuade everybody else to scoot off. Leave the Speemans to us.
We have been known to be rather persuasive. I just keep elbowing everybody in the side. Just like, yeah. And nodding furiously.
Don't know what these people are talking about. They don't even have eye stalks.
Oh, we all love a good eye stalk, don't we? All right. Well, see you in a mo.
Bing, bing.
Ta-ta.
He seemed nice and not at all portentous, I don't think. I think we're all going to rather enjoy our time in this haunted space station.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, perfectly standard.
Anyway, I'm going to go make out with Serato Kingston for 20 more minutes. Goodbye. Head off to the side chamber.
Ahead of you, the space station looms larger. It doesn't look to be in the best of repair, presumably because only the Speemans live there.
Really committing to Speemans, are we? I hate it.
That's what I've got written down.
Speemans is locked in.
I'm sorry, I can't let you change Speemans, Dave.
You know, it's pretty big. It's quite a... perhaps what you'd call rustic. Like, it's not modern. It looks like it was made...
It's a
rustic space station.
Like a really 14th century spaceship.
Yeah.
Lots
of rococo
it's a real pastoral space station.
Yeah, you know, crown moulding, that sort of thing.
Original hardwood floors throughout. Like,
hobbit-like airlocks.
So leaky.
The kind of place you would see in a museum. You can see that there are three other spaceships already in the docking bay. One of them is a very flashy gold colour. One of them is purple and black with, it looks like, several kinds of, what would you call, disco balls. Disco balls on it.
That is not, when you were searching for a word, that was not the word I was expecting.
Their space station has got you know, disco balls. Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, I feel foolish for not cutting in and telling you.
On the outside of it.
Yeah, they're tucked away. So
that's the spaceship, not the space station. And the third one looks completely ordinary.
What is ordinary in this context?
No disco balls.
No disco balls. And it's a normal colour.
It's azure grey, maybe. Yeah.
At least Atrocity Hand Hammer hasn't arrived yet.
No, that would be awful. That Hand Hammer, he's a cad and a bounder, and I won't have him. I tell you, I won't have him.
Has he even asked you?
Oh my god. Okay.
Oh,
Atrocity Hand Hammer. Right. I'm glad that you've just made... I already have a list of NPCs, thank you very much. A trusty hand hammer, he hammers for hands. That's his...
that's his thing.
A stepbrother of Dr. Magnet Hands, I suppose.
A descendant in a long line of the hand...
Yeah.
Somethings.
Okay. Would you like to do anything else before you also dock alongside... the ships.
Just have a very quick extra makeout session with Serato Kingston. And then
thank you for letting us know about that.
Just so you're aware.
I'm going to pose for some pictures for Castor Wolf Alley. Very dashing.
Countess underscore, how are you getting on?
Pretty good, although my two touchstones keep fighting with each other, so I don't know what that is. That's jealousy or simmering sexual tension between Audacious Fandango and the horse. So they're just forever, you know, telling me the other one said.
Is Audacious Fandango also equine?
No, he's, well, a galactic mounted bank and interstellar highway person.
Doesn't mean it can't be a kind of horse.
Not a horse.
You
can't
horse.
Have two horses.
I'm just checking.
I mean, why not?
I mean, what? Instead, it sounds much more fun than having two humans.
Well, I've already got one horse. Can I have two? Oh, yeah, okay, they're both horses. He's an international interstellar highway horse.
He actually rides a big human.
Yeah. Oh, tremendous.
Wonderful.
And also, because it's not explained, we must assume that if one's a crystal horse and the other one has a... It's just a regular horse. Just a regular flesh horse.
A flesh horse.
Regular... excuse me, can I have a regular flesh horse, please?
Okay, you dock.
Nice.
As you disembark, you see the three other crews. And I'm going to tell you who these other crews are now. Crew the First, led by Fingaldan Parsimonious, a notorious posh fence, and his gang of space noble smugglers.
Do we mean an actual fence?
I take it we do in this context mean a literal fence.
Yeah, just a picket fence.
But sentient.
Where's an eye stalk atop each, you know, post of the sort of like, and they kind of
I've actually got a lot more respect for
he's
them
a fence
because than any of you without eye stalks.
He's a fence because he deals in stolen goods.
But it's also a fence.
No,
but, also
no, fence. No. He's descended from spiders.
Oh, he's spiders.
Oh.
And he has a different pair of shades on each set of his eyes.
Who is also a fence.
Thank you, Imogen. That's what we're all
fine
thinking.
Fine. He is descended from wooden spiders.
Oh, a horrible mannequin spider fence. Brilliant.
Yep.
Good. Good.
Don't give in to his hand. This way, madness like.
I could do with some madness. And his crew are Trevor Lanior, who has hovering eyeballs around their head. Bruschetta, who has a double-headed tail. Yertle, with a golden visor. Atrocity Hand Hammer, with hammers for hands. And Chad, who is robot royalty. The second crew.
So many characters.
I have dug a very big hole for myself because I got carried away last night. The second crew is Rah-Rah Spingle Spangle.
Beautiful. Bloody hell.
Hang on, they're on the ship with the disco balls, right? I'm just,
yes!
So I'm keeping up.
God, I'm okay. Funny! Okay, yeah. So...
Wait, is this a Boney M themed ship?
Rah, rah, spingle, spang.
Have they flown from Eurovision to be at the funeral directly?
So...
Space's
greatest love machine.
Rah, rah, spingle, spangle is a dilettante and nightclub owner. She has brought her all-woman band, the Mysterious Protostars, and she has prosthetic arms that are covered in jewels. Her crew are Diamond, who you can tell because she's always in a massive cloak, Venus, who hovers, Livia, who has knives and nails, and Amara, who has three mouths.
Yum, yum, yum.
And finally, this is my favourite, there is Captain Capricious Sun, whose friends call them Capri.
I think my internet's broken. I can't continue.
They are a space cowboy / centaur and former rival of Balthazar because space cowboys and space pirates are constantly fighting. They have brought all of their centaur buddies. Their crew are Sundi, who is a bear centaur.
Hang on, which way round?
Oh,
that
point.
Is a good point.
Bare bottom horse top. Bare bottom horse top. So unbalanced.
I will leave that up to the audience's imagination. So the crew are Sundi, who is a bear centaur, Lilt, who is a moose centaur, and Danny Burdock, who is a squid centaur.
Okay, wait. So when we say centaur, do we mean half horse, half whatever the animal is? Or half whatever the animal is, half human? Because the moose centaur, just a centaur.
It's just a moose.
Or just a moose.
Actually, it's a moose, but it's got like a really shaggy top, but a very stout body.
I'm using half humanoid, half random animal.
Okay, so this is just an extra tall centaur. Right, okay. Okay, so then the bear is going around with this just basically a skinny human and then just like big fluffy legs.
Other question. What way round is it? Do we have a human top and a moose body or just a pair of human legs and a big moose?
I think... Okay.
The legs constantly struggling with the weight of this massive moose.
Well, no. It's a human of equivalent size, which means it is the most horrifyingly hench pair of legs that you have ever had the pleasure to see.
No shorts can contain.
Or the bear one. I can imagine, like, basically the bare front part of the body and then these like two tiny human legs dangling out the back.
Just like constantly handstanding.
I think this is what we should spend the rest of the episode talking about. So you know how with the centaur, it's got all four horse legs and then a human body. Does that mean with the bear, it's got the bear arms and then out of where the neck is, a full human from the waist up?
Timothy!
So it's bare legs, arms.
Timothy, stop it!
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
So it's more like a bear-tipede.
The human bear-tipede.
Right.
Oh, no.
They have humanoid tops and animal bottoms, okay? Right.
Give you an animal bottom.
Hang on. So I don't want to just go on for this forever, but the squid...
Please do.
Yes. Is it... Okay, but the back end of the squid is just the mantle. So is this a mantle of a squid with a human stuck in it?
Oh, that's true, because the tentacles are the front of it.
What?
So what?
It's like a mouth lives. Well, because its tentacles are its mouth and kind of...
Are we basically talking Ursula the Sea Witch with just a massive, huge mantle sort of flopping a bit?
Yeah, so this is a human occasionally walking on its hands.
No,
it's a person with tentacles.
Okay, so it's an Ursula kind of situation.
Yes.
Although I like the idea, if we do the mantle, it's just it's human legs, no upper limbs, and just the mantle of a squid running about,
buffing into things because it has no eyes.
You know, people will draw this back.
I do, and I did, and that's why.
Right.
We're counting on you, people.
Those are the crews.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would any of you like to interact with any of the crews?
Absolutely not.
Christ.
Look at them.
Jesus.
Erogenous turns to Bathin. You cannot be saying we have to spend all night with these upsetting specimens. Surely not. No inheritance is worth that. None, I say.
I think all of Germaine's jewels are probably worth it. Atrocity hammer hands as I live and breathe.
Bathin! My old chum.
Well, you've fallen far, haven't you? What happened to your ship? Drive it into a sun again?
Oh, burn.
No, it was a moon. And you know what? I like it better with old parsimonious. Old parsimony. Old... I'll have you know,
nailed it.
Way better ship than I ever had before. And actually, you know, more loot. Turns out...
Well, I suppose...
When you work with people who know what they're doing, you get a lot of money.
Well, since you were captain of that previous ship, that does make sense.
You know what? I'm called Handhammer for a reason, and I do still use these hands as hammers. So maybe you want to back off a little bit. I'm going to smush your head.
Save it for the Speemans atrocity.
I will. Going to kill all the Speemans. Then I'm going to get the... we're going to get the inheritance.
Spinglewald is going to try and sell a chandelier to the fence.
Okay. Fingledan looks down at you. Hello. What's this?
Hello. Scuttles along. Currently 11 legs. Holding a chandelier. Obviously above their head, he's only 3 foot tall. So, I heard that you were able to dispose of things in a subtle and effective manner.
Oh, well, my dear, that is what I am known for.
Excellent yes. eye stalks, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, thank
yes.
you!
Yes!
Yes!
Waggles.
Fingledan raises.
Wiggles their own eye stalks.
Fingledan wiggles back.
Ooh, wiggle, wiggle.
What yeah, an amazing conversation.
Yes, it is.
So, where'd you get this chandelier from? Let me have a peek. And Fingledan raises a couple of his shades and leans in to look at the chandelier. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's just a very nice chandelier.
Oh, looks a bit, not quite the best crystal, eh? He taps one.
No. Well, you know, it's what you can find on a haunted space station.
Yes, but, you know, we're going to be... rivals soon, aren't we? So, perhaps...
Might as well profit.
Afterwards, try me again, and,
It's not a very beneficial chandelier, then, is it? It wanders off carrying a chandelier, hotly.
Sidebar, as Bathin sort of nudges Contessa underscore and says, hang on a minute, isn't that the chandelier from the Bridge of the Terpsichore Vaunt? Oh, Spinglewald!
Light-fingered alien. Hang on, both of my horse companions have gone off to chat up the centaur herd, but not the one you would think.
The squid?
The squid.
Into tentacles, are they?
I'm going to choose not to narrate that.
You can all just imagine it.
Right, as Grant says, sometimes you can just say there's a story you're not interested in telling. You know?
I mean, I could tell that story, but not in this format.
That will be Patreon-only content.
It's a 15k word slow burn.
And the whole thing is censored.
As we've all just disembarked, just before the party moves off, I turn with my wireless keys and do that like doop doop. Like lock of the erogenous zone, but instead of choo choo, it goes ooh yeah.
Oh, okay.
I hate that you had that installed.
Well, you should have turned up to the garage when I had it serviced, and you'd have had a choice.
I was sleeping inside.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. The main doors open, and out steps Castiel Germain. He has the most amazing silver quiff. He looks elegant. He looks pleasant. He has a neon suit. And he says, off we go. Let's, come in. Let's, shove you all in here. And, yes, once you're all inside, I'm going to set a timer for 12 hours. Because, you know, he said survive a night. But, we're in space. So I will check back on you. And we'll see how you've done, won't we? Yes.
Quick question.
Yes.
Are there any canapes?
Ooh, great question.
Oh, I was assuming that you would have eaten before you arrived, because this is, you know, more of a challenge than a party.
Oh, I did. But you can always use canapes.
Got a point. Mm.
Tell you what, if you find any food, it's yours.
I'll take it.
Ah, excellent. In you go. And Castiel sort of hustles... everyone inside.
Sorry, with your mime, I like the idea with hustle, you're just like slapping people's asses as they go in, like, get it, go! Yes.
That's actually very... It's a very complicated manoeuvre because those asses are all over the place.
Yes.
So many shapes, sizes, heights.
Fences.
Fences. The risk of splinters, everything.
All right. Everyone is spanked indoors and...
There goes our mature rating.
If you can say masturbatory, then I can say spank.
It's true.
So, and Castiel stands in the doorway, and he says, well, see you anon. Presses a button, the doors close, and you are in darkness.
Ooh, a chandelier, quickly.
Quickly.
You can summon them, right?
I was going to say, like, I turn a light switch, and there's... chandeliers the whole way down the corridor.
That happens.
Yeah.
Oh, the lovely. Chandeliers light up the abandoned space station. There is rust-coloured stains all over the place. There are some compartments with busted-in doors. There are some compartments with barricaded doors, as if they were trying to keep something inside. As soon as the lights come on, there's a strange ghostly whooshing through the vents.
Ooh, a whooshing.
A whooshing.
Oh, it's Drexel.
Whee! Well, perfectly good time for a nap, I think.
Rah-rah, Spingle Spangle. Looks you up and down, and then looks away, and she says, come on, crew. Let's get out of here. And she and her band turn the nearest corner and make their way away. And one by one, the other crews do so as well, until the four of you... Well, the four of you plus your companions.
So like the 12 of us.
Yeah. So there's like 12 of you are left alone. And I think we will end the episode there.
Beautiful.
Yes. Gorgeous. Okay. All right. Well.
Smashing.
That was fun. Come back next week to see what shenanigans start to begin on this dreadfully haunted space station that in no way is going to lead to...
Romance!
Romance and flirty parties. Definitely not. Right. See you later then. Bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so I'm going to do a little 3-2-1 thingy, because that's how Alex does it. So, 3-2
You've got to keep the tone. It's got to be a rhythm. It's got to be a rhythm.
You don't go 3-2.
That was a practice one. That was a practice one.
10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.